if she would come and just share a bit of her testimony. And Michelle is our new director of missions, and she has a real passion for the Lord. The Lord bless you.
Wasn't a member until I asked Carol Shantz, and she's like, yeah, I looked at the list and you're not on it. I'm like, really? But yeah, so it's an honor to just be a part of this church, and Lakeshore is actually rooted in my testimony, and God used this church to bring me to Christ. So I'm very thankful for this church and for all the people who are within it. So I grew up going to church with my family, but then we moved into the North Bay area, and I started going to a church where my faith kind of got distorted. The Bible wasn't really preached. I didn't learn the truths about God. What I thought Christianity was about was just following rules, following what the church said was right to do. And if you did everything right and you ticked all the boxes, then you would be able to get into the gates of heaven. So that was your ultimate kind of goal, was how much can I accomplish? How much can I do to earn salvation? So that's what I thought being a Christian was like. When I was in grade 7, a friend of mine, some of you will know her, Emily Stewart, she invited me to come to a Friday night youth. That's why I absolutely love youth group and encourage everyone to invite friends to youth. So she invited me. We were friends at school. She invited me to a Friday night youth night, which is usually kind of more chill, fun. You play games, you hang out, and you get to know some really, really cool people from different schools around the community. So I thought that was really fun. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm much different than these guys. They say they believe in God. I believe in God too. Like, we're all Christians here. And then I started attending the Wednesday Bible studies as well. And that's when we got more deeper into actually reading God's word and learning more about him. And that's where I started to see the difference of the church that I was going to and the church that I was attending here at Lakeshore, is that they were actually reading God's word, which is really cool and powerful. So after a few weeks of doing that, I invited all of my family, which hadn't gone to church together in years, to come on a Sunday morning. So that was really cool that we could all just come here. And that's just where the message that day was just about God's love, and just about how it's not about the reason that we follow the Bible or we follow God's laws isn't so we can get to heaven. It's because we love and adore him so much. And we want to love and honor him with the way that we act and the way that we live our lives. So that's when I truly just gave my life to Christ and was like, wow, God just worked in my heart and just opened up my heart to realize why do I want to do these things? Why do I want to live different and look different? It's just because I love him and want to serve him. So that's basically how I came to Christ. Of course, the struggles are always continuing, but what's most exciting is that God is so sovereign over my life, and I know where I stand in Christ. So even when trials and temptations come, you have God's word, and you have God, and you have a church community to support you and help you through different things. And even I'm just thankful for coming back here to North Bay. I think I shared with some of you on a Sunday how I ended up coming back from Ethiopia. I was actually working there for 6 months, but there was some political unrest, which was causing a lot of violence and issues even around my the area where I was living. And I ended up getting a job here in North Bay, which would mean I have to leave Ethiopia early. Unfortunately, I couldn't communicate with that job because the government had cut all internet and all phone lines, so I wasn't able to accept my job offer. But God is good, and my dad accepted the offer for me. It doesn't quite have the education, but but yeah, so it's just really cool how God works. And Frank was visiting me at the time, and his flight was leaving on the Friday, and I was trying to leave on the same flight, but all the roads were closed, and I wasn't near an airport. And we were told it's unsafe for us to travel on the roads because of the military action that was taking place, and we could risk our lives if we tried to get on that flight. So just like praying and having family pray and the church pray, and God opened up the roadways that exact morning that we had to get to the airport, and we were able to get there safely, and then I was able to come back to North Bay and be here with you and serve as your missions director. So I'm very excited, and thank you for welcoming me back.
Let's just have prayer for Michelle, too. We do thank you so much, Lord, for Michelle and the work that you have done in her life and the work you're doing in her life, and for the confidence that she has in your ability to keep her and to save her and to use her. And we pray blessing over her, Lord. Thank you for the blessing she is. And we just plead the blood of the Lord Jesus over her as she embarks on this director of missions. Lord, we pray you use her in a mighty way and that you'll bring great glory to your own name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, Michelle. Bless you. I kind of feel like I should apologize for so much, packing so much into a service, but sometimes that's just what you have to do. And thanks for your grace and the fact that you don't grumble or complain about it to anybody. I appreciate that. I feel very strongly that the Lord has been calling us at Lakeshore into some very strategic ministry. And certainly the Kingdom Kids, I believe in the Kingdom Kids. I believe God has raised them up. And they're going into the fire, and we need to be in prayer for them. And yet it's God's fire that we're looking, and we're not wanting to quench the Spirit, to put out the Spirit's fire, but really to fan it into flame. And so as we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, we've been looking at it kind of phrase by phrase, and we get to the doxology at the end of the prayer. And one of the interesting things about it, if you were to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and is that in the New International Version, you do not have the doxology quoted in the Lord's Prayer. And you'll see that because this was taken from the NIV, we don't have it quoted as part of the Lord's Prayer here. And the reason for that was the fact that in the translators who were translating from manuscripts into English were using manuscripts that did not include the doxology that we're going to share with today. Thine is the, or yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Those words are not in our NIV. And you know, that was bothering me all week. I thought, well, you know, what's going on, you know? And of course we all probably learned the Lord's Prayer from the King James Version, right? You know, the traditional Lord's Prayer, which we sang or said here today. And you notice there are two references to the kingdom. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's petition. The first part of the prayer, you know, our Father who, which art in heaven, praise, worship, hallowed be thy name. And you know, it's important. Again, I just want to reiterate that the Lord's name is being used in vain all over the place. And it has been for many, many years. But that's for the Christian. is serious and sobering. Because hallowed be thy name. You know, his name is holy. There is no other name like his name that is as powerful as his name. And so then we get through the petitions and leading us not into temptation, but delivering us from evil, or from the evil one, as it's translated in the NIV. And then we've got this bridge. What's going on? Well, we know it, and to me, it's kind of the rally part of the prayer. It's the, you know, this is exciting. You know, our Father, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Now, I'm preaching a short message today, but I'm launching it for next week, and that is this. I would like to give you an assignment as a congregation for every day of this week. And it is just simply this: to say every day, to pray every day, to worship, to praise God every day by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, thine..." I'm going to have you jump to the doxology. "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." You know what you're saying? When you say, "Thine is the kingdom," you are saying that you are the ruler over all. That, you know, in the midst of all the political upheaval that is going on in our world, and things that are happening in Israel, and it just, you can't keep up with it. But one of the things that we need to tie our hope to and our anchors to is this truth: thine is the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not our kingdom, it's his. You know, he is the supreme ruler. And it's a wonderful truth to just hang on to in the midst of all the turmoil and the chaos in our world today. When you're tempted to lose your moorings, you know, and to get untied from the anchor, in the midst of that, it's just wonderful to know. And thine is the kingdom. I have found great encouragement in just that short word and prayer this week. Thine is the kingdom. Reading from a commentator said, "Now the kingdom of God is not primarily a geographical territory, as we think of earthly kingdoms. For instance, the United Kingdom. How many of you know the United Kingdom? Some of you are from the United Kingdom. But the United Kingdom, but the kingdom of God speaks of the rulership of God. It is the reign of God. It is the sovereign control and rule of God over the nations. This kingdom has a ruler. To pray for his kingdom to come is to acknowledge and submit to his rule in every matter, whether it be large or small in your life. Say, God, bottom line, top line, you rule. You're king. You're sovereign. You're the sovereign ruler over all." That's a powerful, powerful truth. It's good to know him because of who he is, and that he is the sovereign ruler. It is to honor him as king. It is to esteem him above all other kings and authorities and lords. You know, we're fascinated by the leaders that are in the world today, and some of them good, some of them bad, and all of that. And there's all kinds of dialogue that we're engaged in relating to that and that. But in the midst of it, we need to come back to the God who is over all and who reigns supremely, and remember that. In this same passage where Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, and I'm advocating it really is the disciples' prayer, the prayer he taught to his disciples. In this same message, a little later, we read in Matthew chapter 6 about his teaching relating to the kingdom again. Matthew chapter 6, let me just go to it. And this is great. This is great. This is a great word. for us in the world in which we live today. Starting to read verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is speaking, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do you ever need anyone to speak that into your life? Yeah. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and we hear them all around us. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? It's true, you know, all the worrying in the world, it's not going to make any difference in terms of adding to your life. Might make it shorter. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father, here's Father again, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom. There's the word. Seek first. Remember, first of all, more than anything else, first of all, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is true. But into the midst of it all, remember, seek first the kingdom, God's kingdom. There's all kinds of scriptures. In Matthew alone, there's over 40 references to the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, just in the book of Matthew. Throughout the New Testament, throughout the Old Testament, there's some powerful scriptures. Let me see. Psalm. Let's see. It was Psalm 47, verse 1. I read these words this morning. So clap your hands, all you people. We were clapping. Why? Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Great words. Verses 7 and 8. For God is the king over all the earth. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Over the last number of months, I have been cultivating friendships with a number of people, men. A number of men, in an attempt to get to know them and understand them and share the love of Christ with them. And I've learned as I've got to know these men, the one man that I'm, I try to get together with him at least once a week now. As a man who is struggling with he's 64 years old, and he's struggling with a serious diagnosis of cancer. He's traveled all over the world to try to get help and take certain medications and therapy and all of that kind of thing. And I watched him transition from swimming in a pool to being in a wheelchair. And, you know, my heart just aches for him. And I think to myself, at night, I think to myself, what could I do for him? What? How can I bless him? How can I minister to him? And, you know, I've come to the conclusion that the greatest thing that I can do is teach him about the kingdom and about the king of that kingdom. And I had the opportunity a few days ago to just go to his house and meet his girlfriend and him. And I just said to them, would you let me pray for you? You know, I don't know what your belief system is. I don't know what kind of a faith you have. But do you believe in God? And yes, he said, I do. And his comment was, I sure need him. Sure need him. But just to, outside on their patio, to bow our heads together and pray for him. And I thought, you know what? Oh, Father in heaven, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And I actually prayed that over him, wanting to assure him and his girlfriend that, you know, they could look to someone outside themselves who is the great king, who is sovereign over the nations. That's a great message of hope that we have. And I don't make any apology for it. I'm not ashamed. My son, Zach, he has his little bracelet he always wears. And on it are the words, unashamed. And when I'd asked him about it, he said, you know, it comes from the book of Romans, you know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are you that way? I mean, when we pray this prayer, thine is the kingdom, Father, the power and the glory. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will lift our relationship to the King to a new level. Some of you I know have had some bad news in the last week. Maybe somebody in your family who's very ill or sick, or some kind of a situation where it just seems like there's no help. There's no way out. But then there's God. You know. There's God. And I want us every day to make that personal declaration of these. And then next Sunday we'll break down the phrases. And, thine is the kingdom. What does it really mean? And thine is the power. Yours is the power. And yours is the glory. And you know, those words, that doxology, those words of praise are going to be sung and said throughout all eternity forever. We will never lose that, the impact of that truth, even when we're in heaven. We'll want to say, when you don't know what to say in the light of God's glory and his majesty and his power and his light and his brightness and his brilliance and all that, what will we say? We'll say, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Have the music team come up, sure. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, proclaiming peace, announcing news of happiness. Here it is. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God. Father, will you take that truth and that proclamation coming from our lips and from our hearts throughout this week, and use it to refresh us and to bless yourself with our praise. We want to bless you, Lord. You bless us in so many, many ways. But we want to bless you. And Lord, I pray that you'll take this truth, this declaration, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but oh, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, test. Let me ask you this question. What are you going to declare every day this week? Our Father. Well, no, we're going to jump over it. Okay. So, our Father, thine, yours, and the glory forever. You might have a hard time doing that because you're so used to doing the whole prayer, right? And so, go ahead and do the whole prayer. That's fine. But make sure you end with the doxology, okay? Let's sing together. Let's stand.